Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today.
The What to Read Next podcast helps you build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lauren Amin interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then the show's for you.
This episode is brought to you by Kensington News title, A Letter to Three Witches by Elizabeth Bass. In the sleepy college town of Zenobia, New York, the only supernatural trace on display is the name of Gwen Engel's business, Abracadabra Odd Job Service. But Gwen's family has some unusual abilities they've been keeping under wraps, until one little letter spells big trouble. Nearly a century ago, Gwen Engel's great-great-grandfather cast a spell with catastrophic side effects. As a result, the Grand Council of Witches forbade his descendants from practicing witchcraft. The council even planted anonymous niches called Watchers in the community to report any stern spell casting. Yet magic may still be alive and not so well in Zenobia. Gwen and her cousins Trudy and Milo receive a letter from Gwen's adoptive sister, Tanith, informing them that she bewitched one of her partners and will run away with him at the end of the week. While Gwen frets about whether to trust her scientist boyfriend currently out of town on his beetle studying trip, she's worried that a local grad student, Jeremy, secretly a watcher doing his own research. Cousin Trudy is so stressed that she accidentally enchants her cupcakes, creating havoc among her baker customers and in her marriage. Perhaps it's time for a family to take back control and figure out how to harness their powers. How else can Gwen decide whether her growing feelings for Jeremy are real or a result of too many Trudy cupcakes? So the best way to describe this book is Bewitched meets Practical Magic. It's a rom-com featuring sisterhood of witches. You can find A Letter to Three Witches by Elizabeth Bass wherever books are sold. Find out more at kensingtonbooks.com. Hi, Amanda. Welcome to Watch Me Next podcast.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited.
So happy to have you here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I am a full-time author. I'm the author of just about to be 7 books. Some of them are YA titles, including the Shadow Game series and recently All of Us Villains. And then some of them are children's middle grade titles, including the Wildalore series. And that's actually my next release is book 2 of that series, The Weeping Tide. It comes out this coming Tuesday, February 1st.
I love this. So let's talk about the Wildalore series. Tell us all about this world.
So the Wildalore series takes place in a world that is full of magical beasts, and there are people who bond with those beasts in order to share their powers, and those people are called lore keepers. And it follows the character of Barkley Thorne, who in the first book is from a town that's nestled just on the edge of the woods, and in the woods lurk these very, as he thinks, very dangerous, very vicious magical beasts. And one day he accidentally breaks his town's most important rule, which is to never ever go into the woods. Because when he does, he accidentally bonds with a beast, leading to him to be run out of his town by an angry mob with torches and pitchforks, and set off on an adventure to figure out how he can break his bonds so that he can return home. So that's where the story begins. In this world, the magical beasts live in regions called Wilderlands, and each one is a different natural biome. And so every book in the series follows Barkley's adventure in a different biome. So the first book is set in the woods, and then the second book, The Weeping Tide, is set in the sea.
I love this. And so let's chat about some world building, because I feel like that's like a big part of it. You know, there's a plot, there's a character, or there's a world that you're creating. What is your process of creating this world that immerses the reader into this experience?
Oh, wow. It's an involved process, especially because I've written, you know, all I write is fantasy. World building is very, very much my jam. And I've written series in the past, but this is the first series I've written where I've gone into it thinking, okay, this is possibly going to be a lot of books. You know, from the beginning, I was planning on it being, and I still don't quite know where it will end up ultimately, but I've always had a vision in mind for being 6 to 7 books long, which is a lot of books. And so I knew that I needed to create a world that was big enough that there was always going to be something new to explore, that the reader was never going to get bored playing in the exact same sandbox. And so my process has been so far in the series is to each book to kind of focus on one element of the world and then allow the series to organically get, allow the world to get bigger and bigger and bigger as you go through. I'm also the type of world builder who loves really specific immersive details, and they don't even have to be important details. They can be really throwaway stuff. For instance, when Barkley visits the Lore Keeper town in the woods for the first time, one of the things he's taking in is like all the different stores, because in each of the Wilderlands, there are, you know, franchise stores. And, you know, I think about, you know, what kind of, how do they transport mail? How do they communicate with each other? Be some other examples. I like to name, you find out later in the series that there's like a carrier dragon flight service. And I like to name all the different like airlines that they have. So just those kind of details that like, are they important in the grand scheme of things? Does the reader have to memorize all of them? No, but I like having tons and tons of detail that just add flavor and color into the world.
So how do you track with that? You know, do you keep a serious Bible or do you keep like, or is it in your head? Like, how do you keep track of the different things, you know?
I do have something that I guess is similar to a series Bible. I write all of my books on a software called Scrivener. Mm-hmm. And Scrivener is basically, it's basically a word processing software if it were a binder. So it has a bunch of different tabs in it and you can organize the tabs into folders. And so it's very convenient so that when I write the Wilderlore books, I actually write every single one of them in the exact same Scrivener file. So if I ever need to reference something from a previous book, I actually have it, you know, listed right there. I can, you know, just open my folder that's like, oh, I have to go back to the Accidental Apprentice. And like, I think that was in chapter 10, and then I can find it. And then below that, I have folders for all of the different characters, all of the different beasts, all the different elements of the world. Yeah, it has many, many tabs. I think I'd be very lost without using Scrivener, to be honest.
I love this. Oh, so good. Yeah, I think it's like such a unique thing whenever you're writing long series or just even trilogy, it's like to keep tab of all the different things. Like, how do you keep it organized, you know? Because readers cannot be forgiven sometimes. Like, we know you said something in book one, and in book seven, it's like right. A completely different thing. You know?
Yeah, it is genuinely really hard, and I feel like I've multiple times fallen into the trap of, you know, working on a later book in the series and then needing to reference something from book one. And you know, it's been a little while since I had worked on that. And, you know, I was operating mostly on memory and I didn't actually keep that organized. And so now I try to, at least like after every time I do a big edit, to go through the manuscript and make sure that I'm updating all of my like little information for myself. Because otherwise, you know, if I did just name a throwaway detail in a book and I have any intention of recycling that later in the series, if I don't notate it down, it will probably be lost because I'm not regularly rereading my past books or anything. Yes.
So good. So let's chat about what has sparked joy over the past couple of years. You know, we have gone through something dark. So there must be something, whether it's writing, reading, hobby, or some TV show, whatever it is that had sparked joy that kept you keep the light going, you know.
I mean, to be perfectly honest, I feel like the Wilderlore series as a whole has been that. So I sold it to my publisher. It was fall of 2019. So, you know, just before everything started. Yeah. And so when I started working on book two, that I actually wrote The Weeping Tide, the first draft of it in, I think, April 2020. Gosh. So yeah, it was very much like the height of the pandemic confusion. And then, you know, editing it over the course of 2020. And then I wrote book three at the beginning of 2021. So it feels as though this is a story that, even though it started for me, like kind of just before the pandemic began, it feels like something that's been kind of carrying me through everything. And I'm someone who I fell in love with reading when I was a kid, like those kind of big epic fantasy series, that was what made me become a reader, become a writer. And so I think even if we weren't, you know, even if I was writing it in like the best of times, like I think it would have brought me joy either way, because it's been a really magical experience to get to write something that meant so much to me then.
I love this. Yeah, I think sometimes it's great to write. It gives us an escape from the world outside, and it gives you you're living in a bubble where you get to play around with your characters and play around with what's going on and trying to figure out what fits, what doesn't fit, what the character wants you, what the character doesn't want to do, you know? So.
Oh, absolutely.
Here's some playfulness with that. So, all right. So let's chat some book recommendations. Do you have any books you recommend our listeners to pick up?
Yes, absolutely. Because I'm someone who writes in multiple age categories, I do read sort of widely. So even though I'm kind of going to be talking about Wilderlore a lot, because it's the next book I have coming up, like my recommendations might be a little bit more all across the board, because that's just kind of how I read. My first recommendation is, actually my first two recommendations would be YA recommendations. So the first is The Ivory Key by Akshaya Raman. This just came out a little earlier this month. It came out in January, the very beginning of the year. And this book is a heist novel that has multiple points of view. And all of them are royal siblings who don't really get along with each other. And it's set in fantastical India. And just all together, it is really, really, really fun. So I don't know, if you like that classic heist trope and the group cast bit, I think the family element, it really adds, I think, a fun spin on some of those tropes that we've all seen before and love. So yes, I highly recommend this one. Let's see, my next one is Tess of the Road by Rachel Hartman. So the sequel comes out, The Serpent's Wake comes out in just a few, I think it also comes out Tuesday. I think we have the same release day, actually. And I've been so actively anticipating this book for so long. I'm so excited. So this series is a spin-off series or a companion series from her original series called Serafina, which was two books. And the first one came out, I remember reading it when I was in high school. So I think this is like 2011, 2012. It's been a long time. So this one is a companion. You do not have to have read the original series to read this one. It follows the main character's younger sister, who in the original series was all of, you know, 6 or 7. And now she's a teenager. And this book will just absolutely make you weep. It is devastating. I feel like it is not a traditional fantasy book in the sense of these big epic stakes. It's got this big world and it's got, you know, a quest to it that a lot of fantasy books have, but the stakes really ultimately just come down to one character grappling with the trauma of her past, and just exploring the world she lives in and trying to figure out who she is in it. It's a very kind of quiet fantasy book, and it is just beautiful. I'm so excited for the sequel. Let's see, some middle grade recommendations that I have.
Yes.
One is Pendragon series. So a lot of my middle grade recommendations are a bit of throwbacks. This one is definitely a throwback series. I absolutely loved this so much as a kid. I remember Buddy reading the whole series with my dad, and it is a 10 book series. So it's a bit of a commitment to read it. And this one, the premise of it, it's a sci-fi fantasy series about, the idea is that Earth is one of 10 worlds that are all interconnected, and every single world has a representative called a traveler who protects the world and can travel to the other worlds. And it follows the character of Bobby Pendragon, who is a 14-year-old who finds out that he is the traveler from Earth. And he and then the travelers of the other worlds have to face down this huge, big antagonist called Saint Dane. And it is super epic. And I recently just bought all the books used, because I have the whole series again, and I've been rereading it, and it's really held up. It's been really, really, really fun. I love when I find out that like my previous self had great taste, my little self. Another oldie, an oldie but a goodie, Princess Academy by Shannon Hale. This one, a million people have recommended this before. It's not particularly new for me to do so, but I don't know. I feel like because it's older, sometimes it's kind of tossing back some love. It's something that might be missed amid new titles. Mm-hmm. I just absolutely love this book. I love all of Shannon Hale's books. This one is about a girl from a small village in a kingdom where every generation, they pick a different village to bring in the new princess from, I guess. Like they find a princess among the commoners, and every generation they go to a different place for it. And this year it is in her village, which is a very, very quaint mining community. And so all of the girls of applicable age get brought to the Princess Academy to potentially become a princess. The magic system, the writing, it is just an absolutely beautiful book. And I think this one, you know, I don't know if I would actually call this middle, I don't know which one it would classify itself as, middle grade or YA. I feel like back in the day, it might have been YA, but now I feel like I would call it middle grade. I don't know. I don't actually know. But those are some of my recommendations, I think. I definitely could keep rambling more. I definitely could bring up more. But those are some of my favorites recently.
I love all these recommendations. I like you gave us some throwbacks books that we can borrow from the library, you know? So those are great, you know, like give some oldies but a goodie that did hold up, you know?
Yeah.
So awesome. So tell us where you can find you online.
So I have a website, it's amandafoodie.com, and you can also find me on Instagram. My username is also amandafoodie.
Awesome. Thank you, Amanda, for being on the show.
Yeah, no, thank you so much for having me.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. Today's episode's partner is Libre FM. If you're an audiobook listener, then you should add Libre FM as your go-to source for paid audiobooks. Libre FM makes it possible for you to buy audiobooks through your local bookstore. Memberships start at $14.95, and they also have great sales for romance audiobooks each month for $3.99, thanks to the Kiss Club. To sign up for Libre FM, please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/LibreFM. You will receive a free audiobook when you sign up for a monthly subscription. If you purchase a subscription through our link, you will be supporting the podcast at no cost to you. The What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Please visit frolic.media/podcast to discover new shows to tune in. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.